If you found it, say amen. Amen. If not, say wait. Amen. Proverbs chapter 31, beginning in verse 10, and the word of God reads this way. I'll read aloud, and you can read along silently. Verse number 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Let's make our way down to the end of the chapter. In verse number 30, it begins this way. It says, favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that fears the Lord, she shall praise. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Amen. Hey. The grass withereth, and the flowers thereof fade away, but the word of God shall never pass away. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just give you glory, we give you honor, we give you the praise today. And Lord, we've assembled ourselves here today in this house that bears your name. And Lord, as we come before your throne of grace today, we come, dear God, first of all, celebrating you as the great Lord of lords and King of kings, the creator of all things, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Before anything was, you were. And Lord God, when it's all over with, you'll still be there. At the end of time, beloved. And Lord God, we just give you praise and we give you glory, we give you honor. We thank you for the creation of woman today, and we celebrate womanhood on today. And Lord God, most of all, dear God, we celebrate you. And now, Lord, as your word goes forth, Lord God, we pray that your word would do that which you have purposed it to do, that it would be pleasing unto you, and that it would be profitable to the one who would receive it. Lord God, anoint ears that they might hear. Lord God, anoint eyes that they might be able to see, perhaps even as never before. And Lord God, anoint and enlighten the place of their understanding, that they might understand your word as never before. And Lord, when it's all said and done, Lord, we'll give you glory, we'll give you honor, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And thank God. As you take your seat, beloved, why don't you go ahead and give the Lord a hand praise. Amen. 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 And beloved, for those of you who need something to hold on to, let me offer up to you. I want to use for a thought today. Who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find a virtuous woman? The scripture here, beloved, as we begin here in this 31st chapter, I want to draw your attention to the beginning of the chapter. The beginning of the chapter. In the beginning of the chapter, it begins like this. He says, now these are the words of King Lemuel. King Lemuel. So these are the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that was taught him by his mother. By his mother. By his mother. And she says, now what, my son? And what, O son of my womb? And what, O son of my vows? She goes on to say, give not your strength to women. Nor now give thy ways now to those things now that would destroy kings. It says a lot here, beloved, that this king now has given such regard to the words and to the influence of his mother. Of his mother. After all, he is a king. He has all authority. But now the Bible says that he's holding on to these words of his mother. Because even though it declares here that these are the words of King Lemuel, these are not the words that King Lemuel spoke, but these are the words of his mother. It does not escape me also, beloved, and perhaps not you either, that this is the only instance where you see even mention of King Lemuel. You never see him talked about or even heard about anymore anywhere in Scripture. But it's important that King Lemuel now is talked about here because, not simply because of King Lemuel, but because of how he has allowed for the influence of his mother. Beloved, now watch this. He said, these are the words of King Lemuel. And he said, that is the prophecy that was taught him of his mother. It's referred to as a prophecy, beloved, because the prophecy is that which is given by divine utterance. And as the prophecy is given, now as we receive the prophecy, we receive now the burden that goes along with that prophecy. See, now when there is a word of God that comes forth, a prophetic word, now there is a burden that goes along with it. It might not be manifest that day. It might not be manifest the next day. It might not be manifest the next week. But it is a word that is now God's telling now something that will happen in the future. And so now the Bible says now here, this was a prophecy because it was something that was said by his mother. And it was something that he would carry for the rest of his life. And see, beloved, there is now an influence. I'm sure all of us here today, there's something that your mother said to you long time ago. That as a child, you might not have understood nor appreciated the impact of what your mother had to say. But at some point in your life, you've looked at it and you said, my mama told me. Yeah, my mama told me that these days were going to come. Yeah, my mama told me that I was going to run into some wrong people at some point in my life, and they were going to not pray for me but pray on me. My mother told me that these times were going to come. My mother told me that I was going to have some hard times, and my mother told me all of these things. And the one thing that my mother told me, whenever she told me anything, but no matter what the situation, no matter the circumstance, no matter the trial, no matter the tribulation, there is a rock named Jesus. No matter where life takes you, you can always count on Jesus. No matter what the world throws at you, you can always count on Jesus. And so, beloved, I find it interesting here that in the instructions to her son, who is the king, she says now, O son of my womb. O son of my vows. She said, don't give your strength to a woman. Don't give your strength to a woman. Now, beloved, in some instances, there is now the thought now that this Lemuel was perhaps King Solomon. And so if it was King Solomon, that would make now this woman now, Bathsheba, who would certainly know something about women. It would certainly know something about adultery, but the Bible. There's no. I can't confirm that in Scripture, but it's just a thought. But no matter what it is, now the influence of the mother who's concerned about her son. Now watch this, beloved. She said, "Son of my womb, yeah, I'm concerned about you because I carried you. I'm concerned about you." And that's why, beloved, the love of a mother is unlike any other love. I wish I had somebody. See, the mother now has to now experience something that us men will never experience. The mother has to experience now the travailing in childbirth. There's a pain that is associated with that, and I don't know about the rest of you men, but I don't envy that part of womanhood at all. The mother now carried you in her womb for 9 months. It doesn't matter where life takes you. There's nothing going to affect you any better, any greater than the love of a mother. The love of a mother. And she says to him, she said, don't give your strength to a woman. And then she said, and don't give yourself to ways that would destroy a king. Said, don't give yourself to ways that would destroy a king. And she goes on in these first three verses, she goes on to say, she warns him of the effect of alcohol and drunkenness. And she says, don't give yourself over to alcohol and drunkenness. She said, that's not good for a king. That's not good for a king. She warns him now about the alcohol use. She warns him. She says, you have to be a voice for the people who have no voice. She tells him, she said, you've got to be concerned with justice for all of your people. You've got to, you cannot just sit on your throne. You've got to be concerned with those who you have authority over. See, I would imagine that no one else in his kingdom could come to him and say these things but his mother. I wish I had somebody. See, because mother don't care anything about a title. You still my son. Yeah. Mother don't care anything about your social status in life. You still my son. Mother don't care if you in jail. You still my son. Mother don't care if you've done wrong. You still my son. When don't nobody else love you, mother love you. When don't nobody else care about you, mama gonna care about you. Mama ain't going nowhere. Yeah. I wish I had somebody. And so, beloved, finally, when we get back to verse number 10, she says now, who can find a virtuous woman? See, beloved, because I have to imagine at this point, because mother knew and mother believed with everything that was in her, that even though he was the king, at some point along the way, the Bible tells us it's not good that man should be alone. It's not good that man should be alone. And so while she warns him about giving his strength to women, she says, I know that you need someone. That everybody needs somebody. But she says now, don't give yourself to any kind of woman. She said, it needs to be a virtuous woman. Don't give yourself to any kind of woman. Don't chase after any kind of woman. She said, it needs to be a virtuous woman. And who can find a virtuous woman? But beloved, I imagine now that she now saw for her son perhaps one who had the faith of Lois and Eunice. That's what the Bible tells me. The Bible tells me that with Brother Timothy, is that Paul said to Brother Timothy, he said, I can remember the unfeigned faith. I wish I had somebody. Not that little bitty faith. He said, I can remember the unfeigned faith. I can remember the true faith that your grandmother Lois had. I can remember the true faith that your mother Eunice had. I can remember seeing that when everybody else had given up, Lois and Eunice maintained. When everybody else had given up, Lois and Eunice never gave up on God. Said it was an unfeigned faith. It was an uncommon faith. It was a faith that would sustain you through all the storms in life because it was a true faith. See, sometimes, beloved, we talk about faith all the time, but when I really get to a place where I need the faith, will your faith sustain you? Will you find out when you get to that place that it was not a true faith? Said it was an unfeigned faith. They were not just persuaded, they were fully persuaded. And watch this, beloved, watch the influence of the mother and the grandmother. He says, and I'm persuaded that the same faith is in you. I wish I had somebody. See, if your mother has had any influence in your life at all, that influence that she's had in your life, it will be expressed in the way that you live your life. He said, I'm persuaded that it's in you. I imagine that she desired for him one who had the faith of Lois and Eunice. Beloved, I imagine that she wanted for him one who had the conviction of the Shunammite woman. I wish you know the story. The Bible said that the Shunammite woman said her son was in the field with his father. And now he got a headache. And the father said, go to your mother. I wish I had said, see, I know I'm not going to get the guys to agree with me on that. But I found myself saying that more times than I would like to admit. Go tell your mother. He said, go and tell your mother. And the scripture said that the headache got worse. And the child actually died with his head in her lap. Huh. But watch the conviction of the Shunammite woman. The scripture said that she didn't waste any time. She didn't cry about him. She didn't mourn about him. She did not lose her wits about herself. The Bible said that she took up the son and she laid him in the bed where the men of God laid. I wish I had. somebody. See, the thing about the Shunammite woman is she had a relationship with the man of God. And when the man of God would come into town, the man of God laid his head there. So she said, I'm going to place my son where the man of God laid his head. And the scripture said it did not stop there. Said she went out to the field and she told her husband, she said, give me a donkey. I wish I had somebody. And then give me a servant. And the Bible says she did not mention to her husband what was going on. But the husband said, it's not time to go see the man of God. But the Bible said that the husband relented when she said this. All is well. I wish I had some money. See, when everybody else is giving up, the woman who has a heart for God can say with conviction, all is well. Yeah. I know it doesn't look well, but let me tell you about my confidence in the God that I serve. All is well. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, all is well. All is well. All is well. The Bible says that even when she got to the man of God, that the man of God said, is everything well in the house? All is well. Is everything well with your husband? All is well. Is everything wrong with the child? All is well. Yeah. I don't care what it looks like. That was the conviction there that said, all I need to do is make it to the man of God. The man of God not only has the power to raise him up, but the man of God will raise him up. Yeah. See, beloved, that's the real evidence of faith, is believing that God has the power, and then believing also that God is willing to use that power on your behalf. See, it doesn't take much for us to believe God has the power. But the real test is believing God is willing to use that power on my behalf. But the Bible tells me, Brother Minister, it said that the eyes of the Lord are always searching to and fro, looking for those whose heart is set upon him, that he might show himself strong in their behalf. Beloved, you need to believe that God can and God will. He's just waiting on the invitation. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, God can. And God will. He'll show up and show himself strong in your behalf. In your behalf. And beloved, I imagine maybe, perhaps she wanted for him a woman who had the resolve of Mary. Who had the resolve of Mary. It was the Virgin Mary who was espoused to Joseph. And the Bible said the angel appeared unto her and said, God has chosen you. And you are blessed and highly favored among women. Said, because God has chosen you not just to give birth, but to give birth to the Savior of the world. And he said, and it is an immaculate conception. The scripture says, while everybody else wondered, while all the town folks talked about it, while all the town folks doubted it, the Bible said Mary pondered. I wish I had somebody. It said Mary pondered, and Mary finally resolved in the place of her mind. Now, what did she say? Let it be unto me according to thy word. Lord, I don't understand the call that you have on my life, but let it be unto me according to thy word. I don't understand everything that you've shown me, but let it be unto me according to thy word. Lord, I don't need to see everything for me to go and set out on this journey that you've sent me on. Let it be unto me. Let it be unto me. So who can find such a woman? Where shall you find such a woman? Where do you begin to look for such a woman? The scripture says here in verse number 30, it says, before you can find out where she is, you have to know where she is not. Of which I had somebody, he said, she cannot be found in favor. Because favor is deceitful. She cannot be found in favor. Let me tell you, beloved, what this word favor means. Favor now means the grace and the charm the charm. It has now the meaning of a woman who has enticed a man. It means the grace and the charm. He said it cannot be found in favor because favor is deceitful. Can I get a witness? Let's look at this scripture, beloved. You can write it down and go back later and review it yourself. He said, Proverbs chapter 7, verses 10 through 15, it says it this way. The scripture said that there was a young man who was void of understanding. And he was among the simple people. The scripture said that he took out at night. A young man void of understanding. And as he took out, he traveled along the street. And the Bible said that he met a woman who had on the attire of a harlot. And she was subtle of heart. Let's stop right there just for a moment. Let's stop right there so you can lock in on what he saw. See, because, beloved, see, for most of us, especially us men, if we'll tell the truth, the first thing that got us and arrested our attention was her attire. The Bible says she was dressed like a harlot. But now watch this, and it says she was subtle of heart. Now, see, beloved, this word subtle, it actually means to protect and to keep in a good sense. But in a bad sense, and the way that it is used here, it means to conceal. I wish I had somebody see what he doesn't see, because he's locked in on her dress, is that she's concealing her real motive in her heart. There's an agenda that she don't want you to know about. There's an ulterior motive. There's something that she's holding on to in her heart. And the scripture said she was subtle of heart. But now watch this, and it goes on to say, and now watch this, and in the scripture, this is in parentheses. It says, now, not only was she subtle of heart, but the scripture says, is that not only was she subtle of heart, said, but she was loud. Yeah. She was stubborn. Yeah. It said, and her feet did not abide in her house. See, somebody knows somebody like that. She was loud, she was stubborn, and her feet did not abide in her house. But it goes on to say, it says, but now she was in the street. It said, but now she was outside of the house. And it said, and now she was lying in wait around every corner. And so, now watch what happened, beloved. And it said, so she caught him. And then with an impudent face, the Bible says she kissed him. And she said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. He said, this day have I paid my vows. And she said, and therefore have I come now to meet you and to diligently seek your face. And now I've found you. See, beloved, see, the virtuous woman is not going to come looking for you. I wish I had somebody. She ain't going to come looking for you. And you need not go looking for her. What did his mother tell him? Don't give your strength over to any woman. The virtuous woman ain't going to come looking for you, because the virtuous woman will be sought after. I wish I had somebody. I want to say to you women today, you don't need to go looking for a man. And so now, let me, he says, with an impudent face, she said to him, she said, I have with me peace offerings, peace offerings. And she said, this day have I paid my vows. She's dressed like a harlot, but she has a secret. And so now, with an impudent face, and this word impudent means boldness, with a brazen face, she said, with boldness, she told him a lie. With boldness, she professed this. She said, I've been to church today. I wish I had somebody. She said, and I have with me peace offering. The word offering now means flesh. And so now, when the peace offering was made, the blood of the sacrifice was poured over the altar for the person making the sacrifice. But now the flesh, the meat, it could be eaten by that person, but they had to eat it before morning came. So she says, I've got some bait. And if you want to have the bait with me, She says, I've got to have you eat of it before the evening passes away. I wish I had somebody. Because she's got a secret. She's got a hidden motivation. And she says, now, I have peace offering. And she said, I paid my vows today. I've been to church. And so now I've come to meet you and to diligently seek your faith. When you seek someone's face, you're looking to get in front of them so that you can capture their attention. She said, I'm coming and I'm looking for your attention. The virtuous woman is not going to come looking for attention. She said, I'm looking for your attention. And she said, I found you. I found you. I found you. But beloved, how many of you know what you see is not what you get? Yeah. What you see is not what you get. Yeah, yeah. Everything that looks right ain't right. Yeah, everything that looks good for you ain't good for you. Said, what you see is not what you get. It said, it was the attire that caught your attention. But as the attire has caught your attention, it's hidden the fact that she's tore up from the floor. It's hidden the fact that she's ghetto. It's hidden the fact that she's lying. It's hidden the fact that she's loud. It's hidden the fact that she's stubborn. It's hidden the fact that she has a hidden agenda simply because you got caught up on the attire. And now watch this, beloved, because I don't want you men to think that you can just take the Sunday off. See, because now, beloved, that's sometimes what we do when people come into the house of God. We spend so much time focusing on what they're wearing that we forget about their desire to seek after God. I'm going to move right on from that. So he says it's not found in favor. He says, secondly, it cannot be found in beauty because beauty is vain. This word vain here, beloved, it means now that it is transitory. It means it's only here for a little while. Yeah, yeah, you might look good now and you got the pecs going on now, and you got the arms of steel, brother minister, and is that you look good now, but at some point, it's all going to perish because it's transitory. Yeah, yeah, you got it going on right now, but at some point, it's going to pass because it's transitory. That's why it says here in Scripture, I think it's 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. What does he say? He says it this way. He says, let not your adornment be merely outward. Yeah, yeah. Don't let your adornment be merely outward in the arranging of the hair or the wearing of gold or the putting on of fine linen. But he says now, let your adornment be that of the inward man. He said, because the inward man has an incorruptible beauty, has a beauty that cannot be tainted, has a beauty that cannot be corrupted, has a beauty that is not fading away. If anything, that beauty now is being increased and is being manifested in a more powerful way day by day. That's why the scripture says, even as we are saved, our body perishes. It's transitory. But the soul man is renewed day by day. Day by day. Day by day. Day by day. He says, with this inward beauty, he says it's uncorruptible because it is that of a gentle and a quiet spirit. He says, and this is that which is pleasing in the sight of God. He said, don't worry if you're looking for your virtuous woman. Don't worry about the outside. It's what's on the inside that matters. Yeah. Don't worry about the outside. That's why the Bible tells us that we serve a God who's not concerned with how we look. It doesn't matter to God if you got on the right makeup and the right lipstick. He's not concerned about the way that you look. Because, beloved, we can get all dolled up and all dressed up and be tore up on the inside. See, that was the problem. That was the problem that Jesus had with the church folk. That was the problem that Jesus had with the religious folk. That was the problem that Jesus had with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. They were more concerned about looking the part than actually being the part. So concerned were they with looking the part that the Jesus, that the Savior that they've been praying about, the Savior that they've been hoping for, the Savior that they've been talking about, the Savior was standing right in front of him, but they refused to receive him because they were so concerned with how it looked. I wish I had somebody. The Bible said they didn't have anything real. They didn't have anything of substance. And so many of us, beloved, we build now this Christianity thing based upon looking the right way. I'm going to stop here just for a minute, then we'll move on. But you need to understand this point, beloved. This is what Paul had to say in Romans chapter 10 when he said, now, my prayer for you, the people of God, is that you might be saved. He said, because you have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And being ignorant of the righteousness of God, you've gone about establishing your own righteousness. Yeah, because now you don't have anything real, you just looked apart. I don't have a true worship, I just looked apart. I don't have a true praise, I just looked apart. And so I wait for my neighbor now to shout hallelujah, and then, oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, because that's what it looks like. I don't want to have a real relationship. I just want to imitate yours, brother minister. I don't want to have a real praise. I just want to jump on yours, brother minister. Yeah, I just want to piggyback your faith. Somebody say piggyback faith. Piggyback faith. Yeah, it looks real, but there's no substance. So where do I find this woman? So he says in scripture here, he says, it is the woman that fears God who should be praised. It is the woman who fears God who should be celebrated. It is the woman who fears God. Where do I find this woman? Watch this, beloved. God himself now was faced with the same quandary. The scripture says that God determined, when he determined it is not good that man should be alone. The Bible says he declared at the same time, he said, I will make for him a help me. So the scripture said that there was not one found. Yeah, in Genesis chapter 2, there was not one found that was a help meet for Adam. There was not one found for Adam that was a help meet. Now let me pause just for a moment, beloved, so that you can understand this. This help meet is really two words. That first word, help, it means now powerful. 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 See, because the thing you need to understand about the virtuous woman, beloved, is the virtuous woman has strength. Oh, I wish I had somebody. The virtuous woman has a strength. And for you men, it might not look like your strength. She might not be able now to lift up the weight that you can lift up. She might not be able to do certain jobs, but she has an inner strength. I wish I had somebody. He said she's powerful. She has an inner strength. She's strong morally. She has an inner strength. She has that thing on the inside that causes her now to not worry about the things she can't worry about. Yeah, yeah, daddy left, but I still got to take care of my children. Yeah, daddy long gone, but I still got to take care of my children. Daddy don't send any child support, but I still got to take care of my children. Yeah. He said, so this help, it means powerful. It means strong. This is not someone who is weak. This is not someone who is a servant. Yeah. This is not someone who is a subordinate. Yeah. But this is someone who is equal to you in every way. It's true. It's true. I knew I would get you women to agree with me on that one. She's powerful, and she has a strength all her own. It might not be manifested in the same way, but she has a strength all her own. Which brings up the next part of this. She says she's a meet help. The word meet here means a comparable help. Yeah? She is a comparable aid. Yeah? She fits with you. In fact, the Bible says she makes you whole. Why? Because where you're weak, she's strong. Yeah. Yeah, and where you're strong, she's weak. But when the two of you come together, you complement one another. Yeah. People have asked me sometimes, look, and I've even asked my wife sometimes, I'm saying, okay, well, I'm preaching, and I need somebody to be with me. And sometimes I look at you, and it looks like you ain't with me. She says, I'm praying. See, I wish. See, if ain't nobody else praying for me, she's praying for me. She's praying for me. And every now and then when I'm searching for a word, she gives it to me. I wish I had somebody. I wish I had somebody. See, because she's a comparable help. Yeah, she has an anointing all her own. And separately, we have our anointing, the anointing of God on our lives. Separately, we have the power of God in our lives. Separately, we both had to make the same decision to pursue God. Separately, we had to make those decisions. But together, one can put 1,000 to flight, but 2, 10,000. He says, together, your power is increased exponentially. Which I had somebody. That's why you are the many members of the one body. Yeah, alone, you have power, but together, your power is increased exponentially. Why he said we should always endeavor to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavor. And so now he says together. It's together you can do anything. Right? And so the scripture tells us here there was not found a helpmeet for Adam. But God said, I'm not gonna look for one. I'm not searching for one. In fact, the Bible says that as the creatures came forth, Adam named every one, but there was not found a helpmeet for Adam. The Bible says that God made him a helpmeet. And now watch what he did, beloved. The scripture says he caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And Adam slept. And then as Adam slept, the Bible said that he took out of him one of his ribs. And then now, as he took out of him one of his ribs, he says now, then he closed the flesh instead thereof. And then with the rib that he had taken from man, he made woman and then brought her unto Adam. Now watch this, beloved, because this word rib now does not just refer to the bone. In its correct translation, it actually means the side. The side. And so he took out of his side. He took from his side. He took a portion of his side. He took a portion of the man's substance. Then he closed it back up. Then he gave the woman that he made back to man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she came out of man. And so the scripture says that now, he says, now that's a suitable helpmeet. He says, so now, he says, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And so, beloved, therein we find the answer for where we find this virtuous woman. She's not in the nightclub. Wish I had somebody. She's not down at the Piggly Wiggly. No, she's not at the Walmart. She's certainly not outside of the house all hours of the night, laying in the cut, waiting on who she can deceive. That's not her. She's not concerned about the vain and transitional beauty. That's not her. He said, if you want to find the woman of God, you need to look in the body. I wish I had somebody. I wish I had somebody. He said, you've got to look in the body. He said, God found a helpmeet for Adam, but he didn't look for one. He just made him from Adam's substance. Why? Because God created man in his image, in his likeness, male and female created he them. And so now, the only help that was meet for Adam was the one that came out of Adam. You with me? You with me? Okay. So where do we look for the virtuous woman? We look to the body of the last Adam. What does the scripture say? Galatians chapter 2. He says, we are all children of God because of our faith in Christ Jesus. It says, for as many as have been baptized in him, you have put on him. And he said, now that in him there's no Jew nor Greek, there's no bond nor free. There's no male or female, but we are all one in Christ Jesus. And so, beloved, what goes for the man goes for the woman. There's not one set of rules for the man and another set of rules for the woman. There's not one standard for the man and another standard for the woman. Exodus chapter 18,
verse 21, he says it this way. He says to Moses, he said, and you shall provide. Uh-huh. Yeah. You shall provide out of all people. What's the word there? Somebody give me the word. Give me the word, honey. You shall provide out of all people. Exodus chapter 18, verse 21. Give me the word. Give me the word. Looking forward. Able men. Able men. All right. Now watch, beloved, watch this. This word able means virtuous. I wish I had somebody. This word able means virtuous. He told Moses, he said, you will provide out of all the people, out of the nation of Israel, out of the body of the people of Israel, you will provide able men. You will provide virtuous men. And he said, these are they that fear God. These are they now that now are of the truth, men of truth. And said, these are they who hate covetousness. And so now, if this is the standard for the virtuous man, therein lies the same standard for the virtuous woman. So what does she look like? What does the virtuous woman look like? She is one who fears God. I wish I had somebody. We almost done. We almost done. I know you're ready to get out of here, but Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23, he says it like this. He said, with the fear of God, says the fear of God gives attention to life. It tends to life. And he said, and he that has it shall abide in satisfaction. Amen. Shall abide satisfied. What does he mean? The fear of God is a reverence to God. He said, the person who has a right reverence toward God. He said, now, this person now has made God the center of their lives. Yeah, yeah. And as God is the center of my life, it is by the word of God, by the will of God, by the purpose of God, by the anointing of God on my life that I tend to the issues of life. There are no options in my life. There are no options in my walk. There are no options in my talk. There are no options in me doing what it is that God has purposed me to do. There are no options. Because there's a fear of God that always causes me to first require and seek after diligently a right relationship with God. So if my friends go astray, it don't bother me. Because I've got to do that which pleases God. Yeah, if my mama don't like it, don't bother me. I've got to do that which pleases God. If my daddy don't like it, don't bother me. I've got to do that which pleases God. If my wife don't like it, don't bother me. If my children don't like it, don't bother me. I've got to do that which pleases my God. And because God is the center of my life, I leave it to God to handle the issues of my life. No worry, I cast all of my cares on him. And because I cast all of my cares on him, minister, I'm abiding in satisfaction. I wish I had somebody. What's the scripture say? Romans chapter 5, he said, we're justified by faith and have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And also by the same faith, we have access to his grace wherein we stand. Once I found my way to grace, I'm abiding in grace. Once I found my way and have access to his grace, I'm abiding in grace. And so trials may come, but I'm abiding in grace. Tribulation may come, but I'm abiding in grace. Trouble may come, but I'm abiding in grace. The enemy may come, but I'm abiding in grace. The winds may blow me this way and blow me that way, but I'm abiding in grace. And grace. His grace is always sufficient. Sufficient. Yeah. The virtuous woman is always abiding in grace. And now watch this, beloved. He says, number two, he says, she's a woman of truth. A woman of truth. Psalms 86 and 11 says it this way. The psalmist says that, Lord, teach me thy ways. Teach me thy ways. And he said, and if you'll teach me thy ways, he said, I'll abide in your truth. I'll live in your truth. Teach me thy ways. I'll live in your truth. And beloved, this word truth, beloved, means surety. It means certainty. It means now assurance. It means confidence. Lord, teach me your ways. And you have to understand, beloved, his ways are not your ways. All the ways of a man are right in his own eye. That's why the scripture says, the psalmist said, God will always put us on the scale. And as he puts us on the scale, we come into the recognition that we are falling short always. He said, that's why he said, an improper measurement, a false measurement, is an abomination unto God. See, the person now who evaluates himself incorrectly. I wish I had somebody. That's why the scripture tells you, even when you think you know, you don't know what you don't know. She says, tell me your ways. No, teach me your ways. Instruct me your ways. Yeah, tell me your will. Teach me, oh God. Take your word and write it on the fleshy tables of my heart, and I'll live in your truth. I'll trust your word, and I'll live in your truth. I'll trust your word, and I'll live in your surety. I'll trust your word, and I'll live in your confidence. That's what allows me to have the conviction of the Shunammite woman, because I'm convinced that God's going to do exactly what he said he would do. I'm convinced that greater, I wish I had somebody, I'm convinced that no weapon, I'm convinced when I'm sick that by his stripes, I'm convinced when it looks like I'm all alone, that he will never leave me and he'll never forsake me. I'm convinced. I've got my mind made up. Somebody say, I got my mind made up. Got my mind made up. Then lastly, he said, the virtuous woman, she hates covetousness. Hates covetousness. The covet, beloved, there's good covet, bad covet. Paul said, he said, I would not have known that it was bad to covet unless the law had told me, thou shalt not covet. Mm-hmm. And the covet, it is a desire. It is a desire. When used the wrong way, it is a lustful desire. And it is now the promulgation of the things of this world in your life. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. The pride of life. No matter what or where I am, I'm never satisfied. Because I'm always lusting some more. I just got a new car last week, but the minister just got a new car, and so I'm lusting after another car simply because the minister just got a new car. I'm never satisfied. I'm never satisfied with anything. Don't matter what you do for the woman who is not a virtuous woman. Don't matter what you do, she'll always be wanting more. You'll never be good enough. You'll never measure up. It's always dissatisfied, always lusting and desiring after something more. But the woman who fears God, you can praise this woman. It's the woman who fears God. He goes on, he said, give her the reward of her hand. Yeah, give it to her. He said, and let her works now praise her in the gates. See, with the virtuous woman, beloved, even if you don't praise the virtuous woman, I wish I had somebody. It is now the life of the virtuous woman that will speak for her. See, that's the one thing that cannot be feigned, beloved. You can't fake that, because your life will always speak for you. Even when you're not saying a word, your life will always speak for you. That's why I heard the president say yesterday in the commencement speech. He said, let a fool talk, because when that fool opens his mouth, you know that he's a fool. The Bible said, even a fool is counted wise when he knows when to shut his mouth, but as soon as he opens his mouth, he removes all doubt. He removes all doubt. Praise and celebrate. This word praise means to celebrate. It's halal. Halal. Halal means to celebrate. My scripture says the highest praise is hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you can praise, you can celebrate this virtuous woman. Celebrate her. Men, if you have a virtuous woman, you need to celebrate her. You need to celebrate her. In fact, I'm going to do you a favor, men. I'm going to give you the opportunity to gain some favor. If you have a virtuous woman, you need to shout amen right now. Amen. Amen. And see what I just did for you. Amen. Amen. Celebrate.
Celebrate the woman as a creation of God. You don't need to go looking for her. Watch what happened when God made a help meet for Adam. He brought her to him. But in the meantime, God is the center of my life. I'm satisfied. In the season that God wants me to have someone, he'll bring them to me. I ain't got to go looking for anything. He'll bring them.